Amen. You may be seated. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It's certainly a thrill and an honor to be with you here tonight. And I just appreciate you coming out because, of course, I'm not Pastor Mike, and he is a dynamic speaker and pastor. And I'm just humbled to be in his pulpit and endeavoring to try to feed something to you after, you know, he's been feeding you all along. But he's a precious pastor, him and his wife and family. And you are truly, truly blessed to be here. And he'll be here next week, right? Wonderful, wonderful. So let me get the clause out of the way. If you're visiting with us or newer with us, please do not leave this church because I came here tonight, because I'll probably never be invited back again. And so just come back next week and enjoy the ministry of Pastor Mike. Praise the Lord. I do want to recognize it's good to have Pastor Ray and Cammie here and their family from Olean, Wellsville. Praise the Lord. You know, growing up, my mom, you know, we had four kids. And whenever mom got mad at us, imagine that, our mom ever get mad at us. And she would just, she would start, Amy, you know who you are. And when it comes to the churches, there's 10 of them. You know, this one, and I have to go like this, did I count them all? Praise the Lord. But they are from Wellsville, and so praise the Lord. And it's good. We have some folks from Fredonia coming to visit, praise the Lord. And we welcome each and every one of you. And is there anybody here, this is your first time to hear me? Oh, let's pray for that dear one over there. Praise the Lord. So I will endeavor to behave here tonight. So it's always very interesting, you know, to follow the plan and purpose for the service because I am here to fill in for Pastor Mike. And so I guard that as my goal is to offer pastoral ministry in my preaching and teaching. But sometimes other things come out, and so... We're just going to trust God for whatever needs to be said, whatever needs to be done. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, seeking the Lord, I have three scriptures to give you. That's all I got is three scriptures. And so we're going to go ahead and look at them. Trust God for the message that he has for us. And I believe it will help us and bless us. And so turn with me in your Bible to John's Gospel chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And starting in verse 1, I'm going to be reading out of the King James Bible. Your Bible may be a little different, but it'll read pretty much the same. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market or gate a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, after the troubling water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there now in a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man, or the sickly man, answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming down, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. And so I want to start off tonight looking at this account. I want to share a little bit about the background of this. I don't like to say the word story, because whenever you say the word story, you think of like Hansel and Gretel, you know, childhood stories that aren't really true. But, you know, how many know that this is a true story? This actually happened. So it's better to say this account. And so it's very interesting that Jesus walks into this multitude of people, and we don't know how many. According to the Bible, whenever they use the word multitude, there's usually thousands of people. So I don't know if there's thousands, but certainly there were hundreds of people here. Now, what is very interesting in the setting, there's hundreds of people here gathered that are sick, that have something wrong in their body. And we read in this account, they're waiting for something. Now, what were they waiting for? Well, in this account, it tells us that at a certain season, it wasn't a time thing, it wasn't on any program, an angel would come down from heaven and stir the water. We don't know if he did it with his hand, his foot, his stick, or whatever, but somehow the people would notice the water being stirred. I don't know if there was a little whirlpool or whatever, or something happened in the water. People knew that when that happened, the angel was there, and when that happened, whoever got in the water first was healed of whatsoever they had. And so no doubt this is why the multitudes were there. This is a literal account. It's in the Bible. I know some commentaries try to challenge the authenticity of it, but it's in the Word of God. And Jesus, you know, went there and knew that this was happening. And the thing I want to draw your attention to is this, that a whole lot of people were waiting for something. Now, I love this account because we can see a couple of things here, that thank God that God does supernatural things, that God in His own might and power does things as signs, miracles, and wonders. And we're grateful for those things. And we see in this account that the God in His goodness and His mercy authorized an angel at certain times to come down, and whoever saw the stirring of the water can jump in and be healed. And there's no mention of any faith involved. The only faith they would have to have is when they saw the waters to go in the water. And we thank God for those type of things. But the thing I want to draw your attention to, there's a whole lot of people waiting for those things. And I see it in the body of Christ today about getting God to move or getting healed or getting the answers to the prayers. There's a whole lot of people waiting for God to do something for them. They're waiting and wondering, maybe today's the day, or maybe this is the service that I get my healing or I get my breakthrough. But I want us to really look at some things in the Word of God and really tell you, you don't need to wait anymore. Amen. You don't need to wait for a special service for that. And what is very interesting, Jesus Himself came to this man who was lame for 38 years, and he was a long time, and he was waiting. He was looking for God to do something in His mighty power and His sovereign act. And Jesus went up to him and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Another translation says, do you want to be healed? And notice immediately his answer. He said, "I have no man to put me in a pool." He had his mind made up. He had his mindset that I'm waiting for a prophet of God to call me out. I'm waiting for that special service. I'm waiting for that certain time and a certain meeting, or when God's good and ready to do something. And I believe there's a lot of Christians that are like that today, that they're waiting for God, or they're waiting to be that someone like Jesus. Maybe a prophet will call them out and says, "You there, I see that you have this disease," and they're waiting for someone to call them out. Now, we thank God for that type of ministry, and you know, people get healed. But again, the thing we want to draw your attention to, there's a whole lot of people waiting for that spectacular moment. Either waiting for God to do something or waiting for a preacher to do something. But I want you to know, you don't need to wait for God. You don't need to wait for a preacher. Just like Jesus here, I want to say to you, do you want to be whole? Do you want answers to your prayer? Do you want that breakthrough in your family? Do you want that breakthrough in your finances? You don't need to wait. You don't need to wait. God has given Jesus, and we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And if you're waiting, you're not waiting on God. Yeah. God is waiting on you. And so I want to share with you some things that will help you get your breakthrough, help you get your healing, help you get your financial needs met. And I want you to get your mind off of waiting for God to do something or waiting for someone to do something, and know that in your very grasp right now, you have the tools and you have the ability to get your breakthrough. You don't need to wait any longer. And so with that being said, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Now, these verses are very much used when it comes to salvation. But we're going to see that really they have to deal with much more than just salvation as we know it. Now, notice this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this, "The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who?" And man, that just rung out to me. That just jumped out there. That it's talking about faith. It's talking, we're going to see here it's talking about salvation. But if you look that word up, salvation, that word salvation means healing. It means deliverance. It means prosperity. Whatever you need to be delivered from, set free of, whatever you need God to do, that's what salvation is. It's not just saved from your sin. It's saved from sickness. It's saved from poverty. It's saved from trouble in your home and your marriage. But notice this, "The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who?" You know, who's going to help me? Who's going to do this? Who's going to give me money? Who's going to call me out in a service? And it says this, "You say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ down from above. And who shall descend into deep? That is, bring Christ from the dead." And so what Paul is saying, when it comes to seeing God moved, don't be asking who. And notice it says, who's going to get something from heaven for me, to rain down from heaven? Who's going to help me get something down from heaven? It says, don't say that. Or who's going to bring something from beneath and above? He says, you're looking at the wrong place for your answer. If you're looking for who, if you're looking for God, if you're looking for some person, just like Jesus did in John chapter 5. Now let's go on. "Who shall us descend in deep, bring Christ from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth," which is the word of, let me get my glasses on because the lighting isn't very good in here. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thine heart, which is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You know, I was meditating on these verses, and I kept seeing where many people miss it. They're looking for someone else to do something for it. But notice in these two verses, in verse 8 and 9, how many times it talks about you? And actually, in verse 8 and 9, thy or thou is mentioned 7 times in 2 verses. You know, so he's saying in verse 6 and 7, don't ask who. Don't look over here. Don't look over there. Don't look for that special service to get something. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, 1, even in thy mouth, 2, and thy heart, which is the word of faith which preach, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God raised from the dead, guess what? Thou shalt be saved. Notice 7 times it talks about you getting your answer, not someone else. Thou. Now, again, you know, many times we read this and we think it has to do with salvation, just being born again. But you look that word up, it's the Greek word sozo. And that means to be healed. It means to be made well. It means to be delivered. Really, salvation is a package deal. If Jesus bought it, paid for it, it belongs to you. That's salvation. You know, whether it's healing in your body, whether it's financial needs, whether it's a breakthrough, your family, that has been provided for in salvation. And what I want to draw your attention to, you don't need to look anywhere else. You don't need to look to heaven for the answer. Heaven has already provided the answer. Now notice this. If thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And now this is so important, that hath raised him from the dead. Is that future tense or past tense? Past tense. It's something that he has already done. In the book of Ephesians 1:3, God hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. One translation says that God has already blessed us with everything heaven itself enjoys. And so if God has blessed us, that means we need to readjust our approach when it comes to God. This is why these verses are saying, don't be looking to heaven for God to do something special for you. Yeah. Trying to get God to heal you. Trying to get God to meet your needs. He says, don't say that. The word is nigh you. You already have the answer. It's already been provided for you, and it tells you exactly how to get your needs met. So, brothers and sisters, whether you need healing, whether you need a financial miracle, whether you need a physical miracle or a relational miracle, the word is nigh thee. What is saying that it's the answer is in your heart and in your mouth. If you'll start working your faith, you will get your breakthrough. Amen. And it's not up to God. And I know that sounds sacrilegious to some, but this is what the word is saying. The people at the pool of Bethesda were looking for God to do something. And then Jesus comes, and then we tend to look for a man to do something, to have our pastor believe God for it. But he said, don't do that. The word is nigh you, even in thine heart, in thy mouth. And brothers and sisters, whatever you need, that answer is already on the inside of you. What do you need to do? You need to start applying the scripture. What? Believe something and to say something. You say something. You believe. Now, you probably never, ever heard these verses before, but I want you to turn with me to Mark 11. You know, it's where your pages are stuck together. Mark 11. And again, it says you, not anyone else, you. It's in your heart. It's your mouth. That's where the answer is. Now, in Mark 11, and notice what it says here. Let's start with verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dry up from the roots. Now, I know you've never heard this account before, but you know the day before Jesus spoke to a fig tree, he cursed it. And the disciples said, man, we got to give this guy something to eat, man. He's angry. He's talking trees. He's cursing trees. You know, he's got a low blood sugar or something, talking to trees like that. Well, the next day, they come and see that the fig tree is cursed. It's withered away. And I love this. In verse 21, and Peter called in remembrance and said, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursest is withered away. You know how I interpret that? Jesus, look what you did. Man, you're the man. Look what you did, man. You are a man of God. Look what you did. And again, looking at someone else. Always looking at someone else's faith. Always looking for Sister So-and-so to pray for me. Always waiting for that special service somewhere, pointing that someone else, you know, has the power, has the ability to do things. But notice what Jesus said Jesus said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto who?
You.
That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, what did Jesus say? What I did to the fig tree, you can do. What did Jesus do? Jesus caused the fig tree to change. And here Jesus is telling us how to get mountains moved in our life. What is a mountain? Anything that stands between you and victory. A mountain can be a sickness. A mountain can be a financial problem or a family problem. We've all faced mountains in our life. And how many times have we waited on God to do something about that mountain? God, do something about that mountain. I'm tired of this mountain. I've been putting up with this mountain for so long. God, please, please. But notice the scriptures that I shared with you. Don't say that. Don't say, God, how can I get your power down the earth? How can I get someone else to do something for me? And so in Romans it says, the word's in your mouth. It's in your own being that your answer comes. And notice what Jesus again confirms. You see what I did for the fig tree? It says, whosoever shall say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. So what was Jesus again confirming? Whether you get answers or not is not up to God, it's up to you. It's what you say about your mountain.
Amen.
And honestly, brothers and sisters, too many of us are praying about our mountains. Jesus never told us to pray about our mountains. What did Jesus say? To speak to them. Romans tells us that we're to believe in our heart and speak in our mouth. And so when we speak out of our mouth, that brings salvation or deliverance. And so we need to learn to start to speak the situations, speak the problems. Now, there's a whole lot here that we can share with you, but you got to understand this. Whether you get your prayers answered, whether you get deliverance or not, depends on you and no one else. Look at this. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever, what? He saith. So what are you saying? What are you saying about your body? Man, I feel so weak. I feel, this coronavirus, we don't even want to go there. You will get what you say. And so let's just say if you have a physical ailment in your body, how do you get rid of it? Well, I go to pastor, I'll have him pray, and, don't say that. Or I'm praying, God, please, please, please deliver me for the... He says, don't say that. What are you to do? You're to do exactly what Jesus told us to do. You're to do exactly what the book of Romans said to do. You are to believe something and say something out of your mouth. And so if you're weak in body, what are you to say? The Bible says, let the weak say, man, I'm just so under the weather. Oh, man, I could just barely get up. I'm going to need a double espresso in the morning. Oh, God. No, let the weak say I'm strong. And brothers and sisters, this is where the majority of Christians are missing it. They are doing everything but saying and speaking. Now, notice something here. Jesus says something very interesting. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice three times Jesus talks about saying something and only once believing. My spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, the Lord revealed to him about that. Christians are not missing it when it comes to believing, because we're believers. When we got born again, God put a measure of faith on the inside of us. We all have faith. Where Christians are missing it is in the sang part. Now, we need to take the Bible literally. Jesus said, you will have whatsoever you say. Now, let's bring in, I may lose some people. What could we do? Can I touch this? All right. I got some of you awake. Have you ever heard about Aladdin?
Yeah.
Well, Aladdin's lamp. All right. What's supposed to come out? I guess there's no genie in this one. Oh, it's hollow. It's a dud. All right. And we know the story, right? You get what?
Three wishes.
And so you want to be very, very careful of what you wish for. Why? Because whatever you wish for, guess what? You're going to get. And plus you use up a wish and then you only have two left. And so you want to use your wishes wisely. And so we know that's a fairy tale, right? That's not true. All right? But here, Jesus said this. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And how many times we don't believe that? If Jesus were to appear all of a sudden, a glory cloud, a shaft of light comes, and he comes out and says, my children, my dear children, and if you're old Pentecostal, truly, truly, verily, verily, my children. That's a joke for some of you if you remember the old time prophecies. And he says this, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith, you will have, brothers and sisters, anything that you say. And all of a sudden he's caught up to heaven. Ooh, wah. But the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy than any visitation. Jesus said you'll have whatsoever you say. So what are you saying on purpose? What are you saying about your body? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your family? Jesus said you'll have what you say. And remember the book of Romans? The word is nigh you, even your heart and your mouth. That in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or confession is made unto the answer. And so Jesus here is saying, you'll have whatsoever you say. Now, the reason why, I'm going to tell you something. The reason why more Christians don't get their mountains moved is because they're very loose with their words. Jesus said that every idle word that comes out of your mouth will be held in day of judgment. All right. Now, we're sort of in the country. Let's pretend this is a 44 Magnum or a gun. All right. A loaded gun. All right. I'm using great illustrations, great props here tonight. And this is loaded. Now, if you don't know anything about a 44 Magnum, it's a nasty gun. If we were to take a few of you, it'll probably take a few of you before that bullet stops, and it'll be it's a very powerful gun. Yeah. If I were to shoot one, all of you, it would be deafening in here, you know, the sound of it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And let's just say I have a loaded gun. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Powerful. And what if I were just to go, woo, start pointing at you? You'd start ducking and say, you're crazy. You're crazy. That's loaded. You can kill someone with that. See, we understand what that gun's. But the Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. What is that saying? What you say on a continual basis is what you'll eat in life. If you don't like your life where it is today, it's because of what you've been saying or not saying yesterday. And notice you have to say things on purpose. You know, say there's a mountain and you want it removed. Jesus said how you remove it is by speaking to it, by telling it what to do. But you know what most people do? Well, God, please move that mountain. Oh, I've been putting up with this mountain so long. Oh, man, the mountain. Oh, God, please. And then we call our brothers and sisters, please pray with me about this mountain. You don't get mountains removed that way. What the word says, the word is nigh thee in your heart and your mouth. You say something, you believe something, you talk to it, and you cause it to change. Now, I saw something here that just recently I never saw before. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Mark 11:23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Okay. Let's find a mountain. All right. This right here. Mountain. This mountain. Singular, right? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into sea, shall not doubt in his heart. But notice what he says here, but shall believe that those things, single or plural?
Plural.
Which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. All right. This is the big unveiling and unfolding why it doesn't work for most Christians. You want to hear it? When they have a problem, then they might say something, but it doesn't go away. But the whole verse is true. The reason it doesn't go away, because they don't believe the things that they say on a daily basis shall come to pass. They use their words flippantly. They say things they don't mean. They don't believe that their words create and make things happen. And so they're just very loose with their words. They say things carelessly. Then when the need comes, they try to muster up something at this mountain and doesn't move. Why? Because on a daily basis, they do not believe the things that they say shall come to pass. And I saw it. Yes! This is why we have to be very careful of our words. We have to every day be very, very careful. If you fully understood that you have what you say, you'd watch what you say. And so every day what you need to do, start saying things. Find in the Word. Get in the Word. What does God's Word say about my body? There's a virus going around, right? A coronavirus, and there's flus going out there. What are you saying about that? Well, you know, if I get to it and I'll start attacking it, too late. You need to use your words to create your world now to keep that thing from coming into your life.
Yeah.
And so there are certain things I say on a daily basis. And that why? Because I'm saying it with my heart, I'm speaking it with my mouth, and I'm fortifying it, and I have what I say. And I say this, I live long, healthy and strong, and not a sick a day in my life. I've been saying that for years, and guess what? I've not been sick. You know, someone was talking about some symptoms. I'm trying to think, when was the last time I had symptoms? You know, I'm attacked and so forth, but I've really created a force field in my life. Why? Because I say it on a daily basis. I don't wait until a mountain is before me before I start trying to muster up some faith somewhere. And so you can use your words and really create a force field for your health. You know, and so I like to live long, healthy, and strong. And I say this, I preach the gospel with strength the day of my homecoming. I say that my mind is sharp and clear all of my days. And see what most people, they never say those things. And when they get up in years and they start slipping in mind, and you know what they say? Well, I'm getting old. My mind is slipping. Now, Jesus said, you'll have what you say. And see, you got to say things on purpose, brothers and sisters. Yeah. Say what God's word says. What about finances? Can you use more finances? Well, yeah, you know, it's such a bad economy. I'm just struggling, and my mom, my dad struggled, we struggled. We just can't seem to get ahead in life. Jesus said you'll have what you say. Not just a one-time thing, but what you're saying on a continual basis. So what are you on purpose every day saying about your finances? Well, nothing. Okay. So you'll have nothing. You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, just to wait for God to remove that mountain or cause that mountain to move. No, you have to say something. And not just a one-time thing mustering up in some service, but on a daily basis, believing those things which you say. And so, if you don't know what to say, I'll give you some things to say. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to riches and glory. And so every day, say, my God supplies all of my needs. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. And Father, I thank you. Desires of my heart are being met, and I use my words to create my world on purpose. And as I say it continually, daily, then when big needs come, I already got a lot of words backing me up, and I can hit that need by the words I've been saying daily. And see, that folks have not been doing this. They wait until some need backs them up in the corner, and they're trying to muster up their faith. Use your words every day. You know something else I say? And I have no copyright on this. So guess what? That means you can use it. I grow richer and wiser every day. Amen. Oh, I wouldn't say that. Okay, I will. What? Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Well, I just don't believe that. You say you don't believe it, you don't believe it, you don't have it. Yeah. You got to understand, Jesus said you'll have whatsoever you say. Whatsoever. That means anything. Whatsoever you say is what you'll get.
Amen.
All right. Jesus said, have the faith of God. I put my Bible down somewhere. All right. What is the faith of God? The faith of God is speaking. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And this concept of speaking, especially if you're trained religiously, is hard to swallow, because we like to blame everything on God. God is sovereign. You know, God and His good timing. But it's not scriptural. We read where Paul said, don't say that. Don't try to get God to do something. He's already done something. He's already blessed you. What you need to do is get the word in your heart, speak in your mouth a daily basis, start talking to your situations, and then your situations will change. Now, notice this. Have the faith of God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And get this. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Notice something very interesting here. The earth is a mess, and yet the Spirit of God is on the earth, and it's still a mess. Many Christians are born again, speak in tongues, have the Spirit of God on the inside of them, and their life, their body, their family, their finances is a mess. So you're having a scriptural experience. You're just like the earth right now. But how do you get things to change? We'll follow the cue from God. Verse 3, and God said, oh my God, it's so dark down here. Does anyone have a light? Could someone help me out? Get people to pray, Gabriel, please, a light. No. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And actually in Hebrews, he said to darkness, light be. He was calling that which is dark, and he's speaking light, and light showed up. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us. Wherever there's a mountain, wherever there's darkness, speak to it. Speak to it. And I see in the spirit, there's financial, there's family situations here. You don't need to raise your hand. I just pick it up in the spirit. What are you saying about the family members? Well, my son, he's just so rebellious. I just don't know what to do with him. You're saying he's rebellious? You don't know what to do with them? Jesus said you'll have what you say. And you wonder why things aren't changing. The Bible talks about neighbor. Look at this. Turn me to Romans chapter 4. We're believers, but we need to be speakers. We need to up our game of speaking. If it has not changed, you need to speak more. You need to say more. Romans chapter 4. Get this. And for those visiting, Pastor Michael will be here next week, and you know, he'll have you singing. But I'm trying to help you. Because too many people are waiting on God. They're wondering why God is disappointing them. God says, it's in your heart, your mouth. If you'll believe and you'll speak, Jesus said you'll speak to your mountain, you'll have whatsoever you say. All right. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. I have made thee the father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, that calleth those things that be not as though they were. You notice Abraham didn't have children, couldn't have children. It was impossible for him to have children. And God says, I've called you a father of many nations. God calls things that be not as though they were. Remember darkness? It was dark. He didn't say it's dark. He said light. Whatever darkness is in your life, call light there.
Yes.
You may be feeling weak. The doctor may give you a prognosis. It's grim. Don't be repeating that. Start saying what God's word says. If your body is sickly, call it whole. If your body is weak, call it strong.
Yes.
If your finances is low, for heaven's sake, don't say I'm broke.
Yeah.
Start saying, my God supplies my needs. Okay, again, I have no copyright on this, so feel free. You know what I like to say? I like to say I'm a money magnet.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, that's accept. Jesus said, you'll have whatsoever
Amen.
You yeah. say.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Mm-hmm. You know, some people, I would never say that. Well, you will never have that.
Yeah.
See, God, my Bible's right there. God has provided everything you need. Jesus is not a liar.
Yeah. Right.
He said, you will have whatsoever you say. So, what do you want in life? What do you want about your body? What do you want about your finances? What do you want about your children, your relatives? Well, I really wish they'd get their act together. Well, that's great and wonderful, but say something.
Yes.
Don't say what is, say what the word says.
Yes.
If you have wayward children, say this. That my children, Isaiah 54, 13, my children are taught of the Lord.
Amen.
And great is the peace of my children. Well, no, they're idiots. They're bouncing off the wall. They need medication. That may be true. But you don't want to fortify that. But my husband, he's such an idiot. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. You say your husband's an idiot, and he's an idiot. He said, well, you don't understand. The word is true.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how hopeless it is.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever heard of Norval Hayes?
Yeah.
A wonderful man of God. He lived to be in his 90s. He went home to be with the Lord. And very often the Lord would use him to raise up people that are off the deathbeds, that people that have no hope of living. And he tells a story where someone asked him to come and pray for this young man, and I don't know exactly when it happened or what happened to him. I don't know if it was an accident or a disease, but he was dying. He was absolutely dying. And he was so close to death that all the doctors thought he should have been dead already. And just to give you how close he was, he would only like take four breaths in a minute. You know? And they thought he died. Then all of a sudden, a few seconds later, you know, and I can't hold it that long, he'd only take like three or four breaths in a minute, where we would take, I don't know how many is. And they would always think that would be his last breath. And the doctor said, he's going to die. And so he was just on a whim, and he was just going to pray. But the Spirit of the Lord says, he will live if Mark 11:23 is obeyed. What is it? You talk to it. So he said to his wife, now this man can't do his own talking, you're going to have to do talking. You start talking to him. He says, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die and serve the Lord. And breath, come in, and you bring strong, your heart is strong, and continually say it. Believe those things which you say shall come to pass. And that's all she did, is begin talking to that mountain, talking to the mountain, talking to that mountain, talking to the mountain. And I think it was in a couple weeks after talking, he walked out of the hospital.
Amen.
He talks about another case. Is this that a school teacher from Buffalo, New York, went to one of his meetings, and she was diagnosed. She was given a death sentence. She had cancer of the liver. On all four corners of the liver, cancer was eating up. And I don't think they have a cure for that today. But this is a while back, and the doctor said, "You're going to die. There's nothing we can do. You know, you have cancer. It's just a matter of time that you will die." And again, the Spirit of God says, she will live, and Mark 11:23 is obeyed. And so he taught her, says, if you want to live, this is what you do. Every day, you speak to your liver. Every day you praise God and say, Jesus, you are my Savior, you're my healer, and I speak to my liver, I command my liver to be healed, I command cancer off of my liver, and start speaking to that liver. Liver. And he's given instructions, you know, of how to live and not die. And he actually has a book out, How to Live and Not Die. And she also said this, also, you know, not only do I need to be healed of cancer, I couldn't have children. She had had some other problem earlier, and she had all of her female organs removed. How many know it's hard to have children when your female organs are removed? And so some people just accept that as life, inevitable, or whatever the term is. And she said, I'd like to have kids too. I said, there's nothing wrong. You can have it all. You can have whatsoever you say. And so, and then right along with that, and start calling your body. I have a fruitful womb. I call body parts into my body, and begin to say that every day. And the more you say it, the more you have it. And she did that. You know, she was supposed to die in a couple months. She did that for 8 months. Every day, just start speaking. And she noticed her body was changing. She noticed, and she went to the doctor and says, I can't believe it. You have a brand new liver. Wow. All the cancer is gone, liver. Not only that, the organs we took out of you. The doctor said, I performed that. I took those organs are back in. And if you don't want to have kids, you're going to have to find some type of birth control, because now you have your organs back into your body. Well, I really wish that would happen to me if I can get pastor to pray. Don't say that. The word is nigh you, your heart. Brothers and sisters, what is it that you want? What do you need change in your life? The answer is right underneath your nose and above your chin. It's out of your mouth. Jesus said, you will have whatsoever you say. And I want to encourage you, start using the word. Start speaking. Whatever you don't like, or you would like, start changing it. Anything that's darkness in your life, start speaking life. And not just once in a while. Jesus said you'll have those things that you say every day. We ought to be word conscious. And we ought to be catching ourselves. Do I really believe that? And you'll have to catch yourself, because if you're given to joking, there's some things you joke about you don't want to come to pass. Be very, and the more that you become skillful in your daily words and watching what you say, that when the big mountains come, well, bless God, you already got your ammunition. You already know that you'll get what you say. And then when you say, be thou removed, it'll be removed. Hallelujah. Well, my time has slipped away. Those are the three scriptures that were given to me. But I just know this. God loves you. And many of you are sincere and waiting for God, waiting for something. And God says, the answer's right here. He gave us the tools to change our mountains, change our situations, to start using the equipment that He's given us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your goodness. And Father, thank You for encouraging us. Father, we can have whatsoever we say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. And Father, help us all, Father, to be skillful with our words. Father, no longer looking for You to do something additional, trying to get You to do something. But Father, You've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You're waiting for us to believe what You said and start speaking what You said. To start speaking light in our darkness. Start calling those things that be not as though they were. And so, Father, I pray, Father, that not only would we just be hearers of the word, but Father, we'd be doers of it. Putting into practice. Using our words skillfully in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and keep their eyes closed. You know, I'm a guest here. And again, if you're visiting here tonight, you know, if this is new to you, I want to encourage you to come back next week. And Pastor Mike, the pastor of this church, will be here. But I don't know some of you, but I want to make sure all of you know Jesus. That's the most important thing. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here that you don't know Jesus? You don't know the Lord? You've never been born again? You'd like to be born again? If that's you, would you raise your hand? I know it's Saturday night. Usually you have to love the Lord to come to church on a Saturday night here in Olean. But we just want to make sure. Is there anybody here or anyone on live stream? And if you're watching live stream, go ahead and raise your hand. I can't see your hand, but God can. I'm going to give one more invitation. Maybe you're here and you have been born again, but you're what we call backslidden, or the Bible calls a prodigal son or daughter. That you're not in fellowship with the Lord. You're not walking with the Lord, but hearing tonight that, man, I need to get back with God. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Is anybody here would say that's me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so if you're watching online, if you've never been born again or you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, right now, wherever you are, the Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so call on God right now. How do you do that? If you're to call a friend, you just pick up the phone and talk to him. We talk to God through a vehicle prayer. Right now, just pray this very simple prayer. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He rose again from the dead. Right now, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, go ahead and contact us. We want to help you get started in your new life in God. Amen.